Are you ready?
Coming at you. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean street of Danville, California, and Wilmington, North Carolina. We are Sans Prados today, coming at you the postmaster that was, of course, UFC 215. We're going to talk this week in MMA, Pam. We're going to go over everything that we saw and everything that we didn't see, right?
I know. Of course, I just walked in the door, so give me 2 seconds. I just walked in the door. I'm making myself a sweet tea, and then I'm going to go sit down.
You're right, Pam. Okay, and of course, ready. As your fellow countrywoman, Amanda Nunes,
right, just said it.
And in the steel, I think that means and still. Is that and in the steel? Does that mean and still?
I don't know, but and still, I'm so happy.
And in the steel of the night.
Oh, no.
Right?
That's an oldie song.
Is that
in
what it was?
The steel of the night. That one?
Exactly. And in the steel.
Excuse me, bitch.
I guess so. All right, let's meet the host, the lady that is not troubled by bad weather, horrible weather actually.
Not yet.
Hurricanes, right? Everything else. Oh, it hasn't hit yet, Pam. It hasn't hit yet, Pam.
Not yet. Probably tonight. We're getting winds right now. It's like really windy outside right now, so we'll know by tonight.
Darn. All right. Well, let's hit the music. Hit it.
Hey, everyone. It was a really, really great night of fights and still for me, so I'm a happy girl. How are y'all?
Yeah, not only that, Pammy, we're going to have New Jersey's own Tom Rivers' own Tom the Tank Galicchio on the show in a few minutes, in about 10 minutes or so. Pammy,
yeah.
Let's talk about let's get into what we saw. So the main event, UFC 215, Pam, let's go for some of the details, right? UFC 215, Nunes versus Shevchenko, mm-hmm. 2. Of course, that was not supposed to be the original headliner. Actually, I don't think they really had a headliner for quite some time, and then just decided to make DJ versus Borg, held last night, September 9th, at the Rogers Place in Edmonton, Alberta. Beautiful venue, it looked like from the outside. Total attendance, 16,232,
wow.
A reported gate of a little over 2 million. And according to David Shaw, who's a senior VP of international content for the UFC, there were some refunds requested, but they were, get this, Pam, talk about
really?
Great numbers here. They were over 100, yet under 1,000.
Really?
Not quite sure if we know what that means, right? But yeah, I said this earlier, and I think you may have agreed with me, Pam. I think the headliner I really thought the headliner after everything was delivered was Shevchenko versus, or rather, let's give respect where respect is due, right? Nunes versus Shevchenko too. I thought that was the main headliner. I think that's what should have been.
Well, I thought that should have been the main headliner to begin with, because if you think about it, really, Ray Borg was not really a contender for the belt. You know, you had number 2 Henry Cejudo fighting number 3 Heiss on a prelim card, which got moved up to a main card fight, and which turned out to be one of the better fights of the night. I mean, Henry was on point last night. I mean, he was just—he didn't even look like Henry. I was like, "Who is that guy?" And I was like, "Oh wow." Look at him.
He definitely looked like a refreshed fighter. Let's start off with the main event. Let's get into it, okay?
Okay.
So, Amanda Nunes defeats Valentina Shevchenko via all 5 rounds, like I predicted, in a kind of lackluster fight for both of them. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I think at worst, Pam, it should have been a draw, really. I mean, that's what I saw when the fight was over. I told my wife, I was like, is this a draw? I mean, because it reminded me a lot of the Tyron,
Woodley fight, Woodley
Tyron
Wonderboy.
Woodley, yeah, exactly, right, where there isn't a clear-cut winner. But I was like, okay, if anyone itched it out, it's Shevchenko, but I wasn't sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it becomes a split decision victory. And honestly, yeah. I think you have to beat the champion to get the belt. I don't think you could just get
yes,
it. Yes,
and who said that? Tyron Woodley said that last night. He said, you know, you've got a belt holder. He says to win the belt, he says, you got to take that belt. And so I was truthfully waiting for, you know, some kickboxing, some Muay Thai. And although she did land more headshots, they were not clear. I mean, she was landing, but they were like sliding right off her. They weren't like right, like bullseye headshots. You know, Amanda had really good head movement. And, you know, when they really broke it down, Amanda outstruck her. Leg kicks and those two takedowns helped her immensely. You know, I think that, you know, I think that we've gotten spoiled as fans, and I think that we want to see those gladiator fights, like the Diego Sanchez fights, where, I mean, they're beating each other to a pulp, and people have to realize that we're in the age of very educated fighters, where it's almost like a chess match. So it's not so much, I think that the era of the get in there and let's just beat the crap out of each other fighters is gone. You're working with smarter fighters. Their training is more intense, and their fight knowledge is more is better than it was before. So you're looking at a chess match, and I think that, you know, everybody booing and you know, I hate when they boo, but I mean, come on, you're in there trying not to get your ass beat. So, you know, both of them were very good offensively or defensively, but I think, you know, for Amanda, you know, people were saying, oh, she got robbed. Valentina got robbed. No, she didn't get robbed, because I don't think that it's not that she didn't want it bad enough, but I told you, it's like I told you guys, Amanda has gotten better and better and better, and she just couldn't stop her. She couldn't finish her. She couldn't take her down. She couldn't do anything. So, you know, like Tyron said, if you want the belt, you have to take it. And she didn't take it last night. So, but for her to say that, you know, she was robbed and all this other, it's like, you know, come on, have some class.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. I think actually, though, the only thing I will disagree with you is on the class part, because I think Nunes actually showed not a lot of class and respect again, and she's done that on a repeated basis. But to be frank, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this was a higher – listen, I don't always believe in Joe Rogan's hyperbole, right? Because he's always throwing out this was the highest level fight we've ever seen. But these are two gifted fighters that are fighting, and they're a lot closer in terms of talent than besides power, right? Because Amanda has a lot more power.
Mm-hmm.
But besides power, they're really a lot closer in talent. And I think what we saw is two women fighting, two fighters fighting, forget the women part, two fighters fighting
right.
That were a lot closer matched, that were being careful. And you're right, in terms of the booing and stuff, I've always gotten into that. I mean, because it's, gosh, these are two talented fighters, right? And clearly fighters much higher level than we are. Otherwise, we'd be fighting. But I don't think it was a robbery. I think if anything, it should have been a draw. And if it's a draw, that means you probably didn't do enough to win the fight. So I don't disagree with Nunes retaining her belt. I do disagree when sometimes people complain about the scoring. But again, like you said, Tyron Woodley said it, right? Did you do enough?
Yep.
If you have to think about whether you did enough, you probably didn't do enough.
But then you look at the when they gave the fight breakdown afterwards, hours and hours afterwards, she did outstrike her. She outstruck her. She, you know, like I said, the two takedowns. She, the only thing that she didn't outstrike her in was headshots. you know, so I mean, it
yeah,
was like
but if you
a
start
blunt point,
looking at, it's not always a two-tail sign, Pam, but sometimes when you look at it, because everybody's skin's different, right? Everyone bruises different. I bruise like a banana, right? But when you look at the faces, clearly one person was struck a lot more than the other. And there's no doubt about it. The difference, I think, being, and I think Valentina did connect, although not.
Oh, I'm not saying that she didn't, but I mean, she did connect, but they weren't flush. You know, Amanda had a great head movement and was able to kind of slide off a lot of those shots. I'm not saying that she didn't get hit. She did get hit.
Yeah.
You know, you look at her after the fight.
No, I think head movement wise, just again, as a former failed kickboxer, right? Head movement wise, there's no doubt about it. Shevchenko had it. I mean, was way ahead in terms of that. But the thing is, neither of them really got hit. You can't say one got rocked over the other because nobody really did anything. So if you don't really do anything, it's either.
I mean, you look at them after the fight, it looks like they just came out of the like the shower room. They were sweaty. You know, that was it. You know, Shevchenko had
a
cut on her foot.
Amanda had marks, Tammy. Yeah, Amanda
but you look at her after.
Marks,
but... after when they did the post, she didn't have anything.
Oh, she did.
You know?
But not enough. I mean, listen, it was not enough to literally say, gosh, this should have gone one way or another. And again, I'm in the belief that if you don't do enough, you don't deserve to win the belt. That's my take. But let's move on before Tom calls. Let's go to the welterweight we went, Tammy. Rafael Dos Anjos defeats Neil Magny. I chose RDA, but I certainly didn't see it going the way it did. Just a dismantling of Neil Magny.
I picked him because I thought this was RDA's second fight at 170, and I thought Magny was just going to be too big for him, and he's so long and lanky and he's quick, so I thought he was just going to be too his style was going to be too non-conformist for RDA.
Yeah, good. That's actually very good verbiage right there.
Yeah. Yeah. You like that? But you know what was always on the back of my mind? I kept thinking, he's coming off of an injury. So, you know, I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but that sweep was perfect. It was like something out of the Karate Kid. But I think maybe this move at 170... it's going to be good for him.
Not what I thought would happen. I did choose RDA, but boy, that was a dismantling. And honestly, I thought Neil Magny would seriously give RDA trouble in terms of just the length, the overall length and lankiness. But boy, this is certainly not how I thought it was going to go. Tammy, let's move on to the flyweight we go. Your boy, Henry Cejudo defeats Proteus's guy, Wilson Hayes, as I like to call him, Wilson Reese's Pieces, via TKO. And was that really Henry Cejudo? Yeah.
Right? Man, he looked like he had a makeover and everything.
was that really Henry Cejudo that we saw? Whoa.
I know. Shut up, right?
You deserve that. Yeah.
I mean, he made... he made Reese's Pieces out of Reese's.
Yeah, good Lord.
Hey, and speaking of Reese's Pieces, I think Tom puts those candies in his machines.
Does he? Well, we'll find out. Of course, Tom Rivers' own Tom Galicchio, with, of course, people like Jon Bon Jovi being from his neck of the woods, Peter Chris, Deborah Harry. We should ask that. You know what? And guess who's on the line right now? Let's give him a proper introduction. Yeah, let's give him a proper introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, there have been a lot of great people that have come out of Toms River, New Jersey. The likes of Jon Bon Jovi, the likes of Deborah Harry, the one and only Tom the Tank Galicchio. Tom, thanks for joining Amp Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me. By the way, I'm not from Tom's River.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, Sure Dog has you listed under Tom's River. Ever. Did you know that?
They have so nation wrong. They gave me an extra loss that I didn't have. They put that on my record. Completely messed up my bio, like in the pamphlet that they sell the program, and they put a picture of me getting hit, and it was they put a different picture from a wrong fight, so they like got a. So the first thing I'm in is all messed up. I'm originally from Perth Amboy, where I was born, but I'm Howell Township. I've wrestled there all my life, been there all my life, just about, so I moved out to California.
Temecula, California, of all places, and of course, the candy man himself. Tom, wanted to ask you this. Obviously, you're still an active fighter, so I'm not going to go into any judging, etc., but I have to ask you about this. Amanda Nunes defeats Valentina Shevchenko. It was a split decision going all five rounds. Your thoughts on that fight?
I didn't see it. I don't know. The UFC, I didn't really... I don't, like, watch crazy amounts of fights, personally. I used to when I was first into this UFC. But I've been here a long time, and there's so many events. I'm in New Jersey right now catching up with family. I'm on vacation. I don't need to watch fights. To keep doing it if they've been doing it so long. And you know, you kind of see it all. I mean, watch a lot of boxing.
Well, I guess if you live it's different to, you know, I do that for a living. I don't want to go and watch it. You know, I guess it's like that, right?
Yeah, kind of. And, you know, I don't want to really know who the other fighters are anymore, especially being in the UFC. I don't want to buy into any of their hype. I'll watch a video on them when I get the call on who I'm going to fight. Yeah. Well, you know, you watch your video on your opponent, but there's no reason to start becoming the fans of the guys who are your potential opponent.
Well, I have a question for you. Given what you know now as, you know, as a fighter, what advice would you give, like, up-and-coming fighters, and what advice do you wish that somebody would have told you before you got involved in this?
Don't do promoters any favors. They don't care about you one bit. No matter what they say, don't believe it. You know, they're trying to make a buck. They got some money. They don't have to be so cheap. And what's with these promoters making all their fighters sell tickets? I mean, aren't they supposed to promote the show and get people to come
well,
in?
They, oh, well, don't even get us started on that, because is that not a conflict of interest?
You know, you get me
off on a tangent. Oh, no, we'll go off on tangents with you, believe me. But is that not a conflict of interest?
I have no idea. It's like, I don't know. Before I went on this show, I was only getting offers for with some of these top local ones, like 1,000 and 1,000, 1,500 and 1,500. And like, how many tickets did you sell?
Ouch.
I've been fighting professionally for 10 years. I'm not selling a single ticket anymore.
Been fighting for 11 years, right? I mean, you literally, you're still a young man. You're 30 years old. You probably still have about 5 years left in you in terms of fighting, or really as long as you want to go, right? But we just saw someone like Mitch Dangerzone Clark retire at the age of 31. Do you ever think of post-fight? I mean, clearly you have one hell of a personality. You are, I mean, you could easily be in some sort of broadcasting venue. Have you thought of post-fight, even though you still have quite a few number of years left in you?
Believe me, I would love to get in the broadcasting booth and especially talk fights and bullshit a little. You know, I like bullshit. But I feel like I got to win a few in the UFC before they'll even consider me for a job. Because right now, you know, my phone's not off the hook for any broadcasting jobs or commentary jobs. And that's something I've always wanted to get into.
Well, you know, it's like when I don't know if you remember when we met in Vegas. I said, hey, come shopping with us. And I was telling my friend Sam, because she's still very new. I'm like, oh, this guy is so cool. He's so fun. And I do. And I'm not trying to, like, butter your biscuits or anything. But you are so fun
please,
to listen
go on.
To.
I can listen all day.
Well, no, seriously. It's like, you know, because I'm an avid flight junkie. I mean, anybody knows I am a junkie. I go to Vegas by myself to go watch the fights. And I watched all the tough episodes and everything. But you were always one of my favorite because I loved your dialogue. I just loved, like, these big words that you used, and everybody would be like, what? Huh? And I just thought you were so smart and so witty and so articulate. And so well spoken. You were always like one of my favorite people to watch. And so, like I said, I'm not trying to butter your biscuits, but I think, you know, you deserve kudos because I thought you were just great. And then when I actually got to meet you in Vegas and you were just as cool as I thought that you would be. I mean, you were so fun. And so, I mean, I we should have gone to get pedicures, right?
Yeah, right. We were a little overdue. I think you got to go get JT for that. He's got some of that. I think the worst toenails in MMA.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Tom, I wanted to ask you this. Obviously, you've been in MMA for 11 years. You're currently with Dan Henderson's group. You guys have actually some great fighters. Not only that, you have great personalities. And Ashley Yoder, Sam Alvey, Dan Henderson, obviously yourself. Tell me how you got into MMA. What got you into fighting? You're a cerebral guy.
Oh, I wrestled from fourth grade till the end of high school. I had partial scholarship offers, but they weren't enough, and I really couldn't afford to go away to school and put on that ton of debt. So I remember when I was in high school, Frankie Edgar used to come in with my off-season coach and help me when he was in college. He would come in and give me some live goes and help me out. As soon as he graduated college, I graduated high school. I saw he's at a started fighting. I'm like, hey, Frankie, what are you doing? I want to get involved. What's going on with that? And then I joined the Rhino Fight Team. 6 months later, I had my first pro fight against a guy who was on one of the earlier Ultimate Fighters, a guy named Mark Stevens. So he's out of ATT. He's a good fighter. Yeah, that's how I got started. And when I grew up, I always got into a lot of fights. Everybody used to pick on me because I had a giant head. You know, it's like the same size head I have now, but just on a little kid body.
A lot like a Pez dispenser.
Yeah.
And that has to do with candy. See? So it's like it's all relative.
Actually, my first job making money, I would buy candy and resell it when I was little. So I'm coming in full circle.
See, there you go. How cool is that? It's karma. I have another question. And this is, I always talk about this because I just don't get it. Okay, the weight cuts. Do you think that some fighters are just cutting too much weight? And is it that they're cutting too much weight? Is it that they are living an unhealthy lifestyle in between fights? And what do you think about what California does is where they check in with you 30 days before the fight to check how your weight cut is going? Is that a precedent that more states should take or...
No, first of all, let's not get more government involved in anything. You know, we don't need more government. They're just going to mess it up. They really are. They're going to mess it up. All right. I had a solution for it. Instead of us keep adding girl weight classes, why don't we get rid of 170, make 165, 175. We will have more fighters in each of those weight classes than any new girl weight class they'll make. People won't cut so much weight. And we'll have two different champions, I guarantee, at each of them.
See, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you think it will ever get to the point where, okay, you know, we're just not, you're 170, you're going to fight at 170, instead of, okay, I'm shrinking down to 145, and I make that 145, and then by tomorrow I'm going to be 170, I'm going to kill everybody. So do you think it will ever come to the point where you just fight at whatever weight that you are? Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Well, that's what I was doing on The Ultimate Fighter, but Yeah, I normally fight at 155. I stay disciplined with my diet and everything, and if I just eat right, I could walk around 170. I woke up 3 days before the finale on weight, a pound under, so I was eating and just cruising. But when those guys cut those big weights, they get, you know, guys like Diego, he was big. Even Kraus was on the bigger end too. But he bulked up.
I just don't get, how do you not get sick? Because I was telling the guys, I got dehydrated one time. I was sick for 3 days. So how do you dehydrate and then go and fight for 25 minutes, 15 or 20 or 25 minutes? And I would be, you couldn't even get me out of bed. I was like, oh my God, I'm dying. I could, it was awful. So how do y'all do that? I just can't fathom. I don't get it.
You get sick sometimes from a weight cut. You know, you're depleting your immune system. But that's the name of the game. You got to fight through it. You're not going to feel 100% every fight. You're always going to have ups or downs, and there's always going to be some adversity you or even your opponent is going through, because it takes a lot to just get up to game day, you know. Get your opponents ready. After the weight cut, you get to a point where you just want water more than food.
Really?
Or like some sort of Gatorade.
No tiramisu?
Oh, I'm more of a cheesecake guy, but I do like a good tiramisu.
Oh. You've been a tough twice, right? I mean, you were with the McGregor versus Faber side. Then, of course, you were on the redemption side. You were there when a lot of this was going on, and what you see sometimes is some fighters basically switching camps. You're not one to really switch a lot of camps. But is there a little bit of atmosphere that happens when one fighter switches one camp to another?
I mean, your last team kind of gets mad at you. I've actually switched camps quite a few times. But if you're doing it for the right reason and something's wrong in your camp, the wrongness will show. And everybody will come around, and they'll tell you, you made the right move. You know, you were the only one who did it. You made the right move. You got out and saved your career. So
we talked about that one time.
Your friend.
Yeah, but, I mean, isn't it, we talked about this on the show one time, because we talked about how when TJ switched camps from Alpha Male. But wouldn't that be in your best interest to change camps and learn new things so you don't get stagnant with like learning new techniques and learning new methods instead of just staying, I guess, stagnant and doing the same old things? I mean, isn't it to your benefit too?
Well, yes, but I think you could stay with your camp and cross train. It all depends on camp to camp. I there's probably a ton that everybody doesn't see behind the closed doors, behind their situation. But sometimes something's wrong and a fighter needs to change it and change camp. Sometimes they just need to tweak something, or maybe they need to go get some cross training in. I do that now after the show. I go see Jim Stevenson once a week, get some cross training in.
So if you had the opportunity, who is the one fighter that you would want to train with, spar with, pick their brain? Who would that be?
Damian Maia. Very similarly. Very, very similarly. We're both choke guys. We're both single leg takedown guys. Both could get the back from different position. I think if I got some working with him, me and him could both exchange some notes. I mean, I think I got like 17 rear naked chokes, maybe, something like that.
Wow.
He's got a ton of them. I would love to pick his brain.
That's your favorite method anyway, isn't it? A rear naked choke?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's secure. If you mess, you have their back. You're not in bad position. If you swing an arm bar and you mess up or jump an arm bar, you're on your back.
We always like to get to know our guests, Tom, and find out, I mean, especially someone like you that we've all been fans of, to be frank. What's your favorite kind of music? What do you normally listen to? Like, what's your go-to? And are there any TV shows that you're watching right now that have really have you riveted?
Okay, let's go with the music. I'm a hip hop head, and I'm not a shit hop head. Nice. So I don't like anything that's really new out. Although Tribe Called Quest did come out with an album recently that made Billboard. Hats off to them. Yeah, I like old school hip hop. I mean, shit, I walked out to Gangstar. I mean, it's pretty obvious. I like funk. I like and Motown, and also, you know, I like
Oh,
classic
nice.
rock and a little bit of punk and stuff. I go full spectrum, but I don't like let's say like pop or what's popular sort of thing. Watch the show Bullshit by Penn and Teller, and it's just like a show they all where they go debunking things, like calling bullshit on things, like some religions, some political things, and kind of attack the thing and show you what's really going on, what's the meaning behind this, and why we do this, where did it come from, sort of thing. I watch a lot of stand-up comedy, as well as I like cartoons. I like my South Park, and I just got onto this new one, Rick and Morty. My adult cartoons, of course.
I can, you know what? I can't do cartoons. They hurt my eyes. They hurt my eyes, and I can't stand like the high, like the. I was telling my kids, why are they always yelling? I don't like when cartoons are yelling, and I just don't. I told you I've been watching Westworld. That's pretty funky, interesting. Robots. Are y'all getting any hurricane residuals up there yet, or not?
No, I'm in New Jersey right now visiting the fam. I finally got some time and took a little time to see the fam. So nothing yet, and I'm out of here tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. See, we're getting. I was telling Tony we're getting a little bit of wind right now. Probably will know by tomorrow. North Carolina, yeah. We're 40 miles from South Carolina, right on the beach. So we're Wilmington, so right on the beach.
Oh no! Well, luckily you're not Florida.
Right, and there was right. Well, no, there was a thing that I posted. I'm going to say a bad word, Tony, so don't get mad. But it was a little map, and it had red and yellow and green. And red was the you are totally fuck zone. I'm in the fuck zone, and the green zone was just rain and shit. So I'm in the fuck zone right now.
Tom, before we let you go, we're going to go one more round, but I wanted to ask, what's next for you in terms of fights? Do you have a fight lined up? Where are you in terms of that?
Nothing's lined up yet, but it's came back. Definitely was a lot, you know, having the four fights, the show, and then the finale, the four fights in such a short period of time. It's like, all right, after this is all over, I'm taking a break. And then somewhere on this trip, it's like I want to get one in before the year ends.
New Year's Eve in Vegas, that's available.
I know. When is that?
The 30th of December. Well, right next to New
Year's,
the eve before New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve Eve.
New Year's Eve Eve. I wonder who's doing the card New Year's Eve. You think Rizin's going to do one? One FC. They love that.
I don't know, but the rumor is that Zyborg is fighting that weekend.
Who is she going to fight? Who is going to make her fight now? Is she going
to
fight
Holly Holm, I think. Maybe. The rumor
Holly
is Holly Holm. They're giving them out like candy, right? Yeah, well, what do you think about all the interim belts?
I know it's the show must go on sort of thing, and I think it has something to do with the pay-per-views too as well. Like, they have to have a title fight to get a higher percentage of the pay-per-view buys. So, like, they have to produce a title on the line. I don't know if they should be stripping. I mean, maybe if it's
only
a new champ, they should be quicker to strip. If it's somebody who's had a good track record, I think they should get a little more leniency. If I had a title fight, you could put me in a wheelchair, roll me out. I'll get in that ring.
Right?
Weight,
yeah, no, but no, I totally agree. I totally agree. And we've gotten, I mean, we'll go round and round on this thing, because that's like my hot topic is, if you don't want to fight, then strip and put somebody in there who wants to fight. None of this special favors and I want to go try something else. And then, you know, no, it doesn't work that way. I'm a purist. And anyways, that's a whole nother show and I could go on for hours. Right, Tony?
The last thing that I want to hit you up and then we'll let you go after Pam, but you still have three more shows in December. December 1st, of course, Las Vegas, the Tough 26 finale. I'd love to see you on that card. Then, of course, there's December 2nd, the Detroit card. And, of course, as Pam was saying, December 30th in Las Vegas. I wish, Tom, I'm in the Bay Area. We hardly ever get any shows here in California, Northern California, as you know, being from Temecula. But you still have...
I hate to interrupt you. You guys do get a good amount of Bellator, good Bellators up in the Bay Area. I've been there twice. Definitely great events up
nice.
There. I was in San Jose twice with cornering my fighter, my training partner, Fernando Gonzalez, who's one of our top prospects, one of our top fighters, I should say, at a Team Quest. Not prospect. He's been there the longest. So Bay Area's got some. I think they're a little bit – LA, you kind of get some good things. I think they're a little even with SoCal, but I think you guys have a better regional scene, MMA-wise.
Tom, were you there covering Fernando when he was fighting MVP? Were you there cornering him?
Oh, I was. I'm there almost every fight for Fernando. I was there for MVP, yes.
Darn. All right. So I must have missed you there because we were covering that scene. So darn. I wish I would have had an opportunity to...
I don't go in the cage. They only allow two. I let his brother go in and his head cornerman, Isaiah, the stand-up coach, go in. So, I work the corner and I fade into the back.
Okay, well, here's – if you because I already have my reservations for Vegas in New Year's Eve weekend. So, if you are there, I will pay for us to go get pedicures. How about that?
Yeah, hopefully after I get my hand raised, right?
Yeah, well, then exactly. We'll do manicures, too.
We'll
do manis and putties.
Manny and putties. Hopefully a bonus. I try to fight for a bonus every time. I've gotten plenty of bonuses that didn't pay in non-UFC shows. They go, you got fight of the night. Here's a good handshake.
Oh.
Come back with some bonus money this time around.
Real quick, before we let you go, tell us a little bit about your candy business, and give a shout out to your candy business.
Okay, Candy's running. Took a little bit of hiatus while I've been in New Jersey, but it's going to be a year on my birthday since we started, September 23rd, and KO Candy's getting bigger and bigger every day.
Awesome. Now, what's your favorite out of all those candies?
Gumballs, because I got the highest profit margin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Look at you.
For me.
Do you have Reese's Pieces in that mix, in your mix of candies?
No. The good people at the Reese's Pieces company charge too much for Reese's Pieces.
Oh, damn. Okay.
But I do every other one, you know, peanut M&Ms, Skittles. Peanut M&Ms are my best sellers. I do toys now.
See, I like Skittles, but I like the green Skittles.
Yeah, you know, the specialty candy are hard to find. Like, I only get, they only sell bulk of, peanut M&Ms, you know, just the select stuff.
Tom, we wanted to thank you for your time. You've been outstanding and honest. I leave you this. If you ever want to come on and talk fights, let us know. Pam will get you on the show, and we'd love to have you on, Tom. We follow Tom, of course, at Tom Galicchio, and I want to make sure I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Galicchio, correct, Tom?
Close enough. It's Galicchio.
Darn it.
God,
damn, I messed it up.
I'm closer to my hometown, though, so I mean, you're getting better.
Galicchio.
All right, Tom. Well, listen, we appreciate your time. We're big fans, and thanks for being on AMP Radio, and we hope to have you again soon, and I'll probably see you in San Jose in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming on.
All right, Tom.
On. Thanks. And pedicures in December.
See you in December. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Thanks, Tom. How about that? The great Tom, and I'm going to butcher this, Tammy. Galicchio?
Galicchio. Galicchio.
Darn. I butchered it, and you know what? I was literally, you know how I pride myself on trying to get these names correctly. So much for that. Boy, I tell you, great personality, great guy.
How
and,
fun was he?
Pam, you did it again. You
he
did it again,
so
Pam.
So much fun.
You always line up quality
you.
People. Pam, let's move up.
Well,
down. Well, go ahead, Pam.
Oh, I was just saying, don't forget, next Sunday, Jason Knight.
Oh, wait a second. We messed yep. up last week when we didn't promote enough, Pam. Let's do this right, Pam.
Yep.
Promote next week.
Next Sunday, the 17th, we are going to have Hick Nick Diaz, also known as Jason Knight, from Mississippi, up and coming, soon to be belt holder.
And one hell of a fighter at that, right? I mean, let's
he
let's
is, yes.
I mean, let's give him a hand of applause there, Pam.
Yay! And he's so sweet. He's so nice. He's such a good Southern man. I mean, just so sweet. So it's going to be a lot of fun to talk to him.
Not only that, you even got Aaron singing
for him. Oh my gosh.
All right, Pam, we got 15 minutes. We got to book through this. So let's fly through this. So let's go to, let's go to the light heavyweight. We went, I got this wrong too, Pammy. Aleer Latifi defeats Tyson Pedro via unanimous decision. And honestly, Pam, it was unanimous. What say you, Pam?
It was. Oh, no. It was totally unexpected. I thought that Tyson Pedro, being the bigger, taller, longer reach, I thought that he had all those advantages. But, man, Latifi, Queen Latifi, he's a tank. I mean, he just threw him around like he was a rag doll.
Yeah, it wasn't even close, and I was surprised by his strength, but like you mentioned in Smack My Picks, the length was an issue.
Right?
I mean, it certainly, boy, you don't want my opinion on any future cards, because I really tanked on this one.
Yeah, huh?
Oh, I went, yeah.
All right,
you know what? My one win made up for all my losses. How about that?
And that's Amanda Nunes, right? You chose that.
Yep.
All right, Pam, let's move down to the featherweight. We went. Jeremy Stephens defeated one of my favorite fighters of all time, El Nino.
I know.
Which is, by the way, Spanish for the Nino, via decision.
Right?
And honestly, man, I've seen Gilbert's lead leg get butchered before. We saw with Edson Barbosa, et cetera. But, boy, this was brutal. Mm-hmm. Just an absolute warrior. But what's next for Gilbert Melendez, Pam?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I don't know what his contract is that he signed. But this is I am going to say this. And you know me. I love my Diaz brothers. I absolutely love them. But we've talked about this before. They need to learn how to check those kicks, because the same way that Barbosa took out Melendez, Jeremy Stephens did the same thing, and Dos Anjos did the same thing to Nate. And in the last fight that they did, McNuggets did the same thing to Nate, kept taking out that lead leg, because they're heavy on that lead leg because they're primarily boxers, but they need to learn how to check those kicks. That is their bane, is those leg kicks. I'm hoping that it was nothing too serious. I'm hoping it was just like a bone bruise or, you know, irritation to the muscle. I hope nothing was fractured or broken or anything. But, man, give props to Gil for, he showed true heart, because, you know, he was in so much pain.
Damn,
I mean, don't you just want
to
die when you hit your... Right. I mean, don't you... When you hit your shin on the coffee table, don't you want to call 911?
I do.
Right?
Yeah, but,
oh, my gosh.
Of course, I'm not a...
Seriously,
I'm not a professional fighter.
Right.
Right.
I know, but does that not make your butt pucker when you hit your shin on the coffee table?
No doubt about it. But, you know, Jeremy Stephens said, and I don't know how much of this was crap talking or... But just, you know, mm-hmm. the older style fighting where you put a lot of, you know, weight on your leg, on your front leg, which is more of the boxing versus a Muay Thai, where you have more of your weight on the rear leg. So it'll be interesting to watch. Let's go to the prelims. Let's go quickly, Pam, on this. Man, Sarah McMahon loses again. Loses to Caitlin
Vieira. I know it.
Via submission triangle choke. I didn't see that.
Oh, dude. No, I messaged Proteus. I messaged Proteus. So do not cue the music for this.
Well, definitely no cue the music for that. But boy, I don't know if that's indication of what we're seeing, Pam, of fighters that maybe we've already seen their runs, you know, with Sarah McMahon
maybe.
And Gilbert Melendez.
I mean,
and again,
it's
you know what a big fan I am. But
oh, me too, exactly. But we talked about this, you know, another time too. It's like the new generation, the fighters that are coming up. Their fighting style is completely different because the technology is completely different. What they're learning is completely different. They're smarter fighters. They're more technical fighters. And you know, do you think that the days of Rory Mack and Robbie Lawler are gone, or are we going to continue to see more fights like that?
Yeah, I think those days are dinosaur days. I mean, I don't know if that style of fighting is still just because people want to preserve themselves a lot more, right? I mean, people want to try to have longer careers, or maybe they just don't want to get beat up as much as they used to. But yeah, I think those days, Pam, you're right. I don't know if we're going to see too many of those days left. Pam,
yeah, maybe they're just becoming more health conscious as well.
Right. I mean, listen, how many Corey McDonald / Hobby Lawler fights can one see? I mean, those are brutal fights, right? You know, Lawler Condit. Do you remember that? I mean, there's only so much of those that one can have in them, right? Let's move down, Pam, to the women's bantamweight. We win. Sarah Morris, who I guess Proteus was a big fan of, defeat Ashley Evans-Smith in a brutal armbar, very similar to when the beautiful Misha Tate had her elbow. I think it was dislocated. Same thing as what we saw. Anything there, Pam?
Oh my gosh! I just remembered. Remember, I told you I fell off my motorcycle and I dislocated my elbow. I was like, oh
my God,
the pain. Yeah, that was. But you know what? I thought it was kind of a little bit douchebaggy of her when they said you dislocated her elbow, and she said, "Good, really? Yeah, come on, don't be a douchebag." You know, because you're in it to fight, and yes, somebody's going to get hurt, but you don't ever willingly want to wish pain or something, you know, on somebody else. I think that's just in poor taste. But you know, they're in there fighting. Throwing down, so who am I to talk about poor taste, you know? We're sitting there watching.
I agree, Pam. I mean, I think there's always needs to be a level of decorum. Okay, we have about 5 minutes left of Pam, so let's fly through this. Rick Lynn defeats Gavin Tucker in a fight that I think should have been stopped at least two or three times earlier. I mean, just to have it run all. I think that was really poor officiating. I throw to you, Pam. Rick Lynn defeats Gavin Tucker. What say you about the officiating?
Well, I think that it should have been stopped, but, you know, he was still defending himself, you know. So again, you have that little bit of, you know, do I stop it too early? What happens if I stop it too? You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. So could it have been stopped earlier? Yes, it could have been. You know, but you know, that's one of those things. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And, you know, people are going to complain about early stoppage and then people are going to complain about a late stoppage. So.
Pam, let's move down to the lightweight. We went basically the beginning of the prelim FS1 cards. Alex White defeats Mitch Clark. Mitch Clark, of course, then hangs it up. In a nice, awesome display of just, you know, being close to home and hanging it up. Any thoughts on that fight, Pam?
Oh my gosh, that made me so teary because it just broke his heart to retire. But he knew, you know, that's what he needed to do. And, you know, it was, it was a good way to end his career, you know, not to sound cliche, but he went out on his shield. You know, he went out, did the best that he could. And I mean, that guy was just, when he had him with the, had him hooked in and was just elbowing the mess out of him, I don't know how he withstood that. And he kept coming back and kept coming back. So it's just kudos to him for having the insight and the wisdom to say that I'm done.
I agree, Pam. All right, let's see, we have two more. Let's fly through these. We have literally 3 minutes. Let's fly through this. To the UFC Fight Pass prelims, Cajun Johnson defeats Adriano Martins via KO in the third. Anything on that one?
That was a crazy fight. That was a wicked, crazy fight. I mean, it was exciting from the get-go. I was off yesterday, so I sat my butt out here and watched prelims, and that was an amazing fight. It was good. Good fight.
And I think something good to see as well that no one really got a lot of press on, but and I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Arjun Singh Bhullar. It could be Bhullar. But he is, of course, of Indian Sikh descent.
That was a great fight. Yes, yes. Yeah. That was an awesome fight. And when he won, and everybody was just so happy that he won, and he, oh my gosh, he was just such, it was just such a pleasure to hear him afterwards. So he was just so thankful and just so elated and just truly grateful to you know, the UFC and to his opponent. And to the fans, and that's the stuff that you want to see. You know, you want to know that these people appreciate, you know, the fans being out there to support them. And he was awesome. I was happy for him.
Yeah, and perhaps maybe one of the few, if not the only, Indo-Canadian fighter that I've seen in the UFC, unless I'm missing one. But boy, that was actually and undefeated Pam as well. So I thought that was a nice
right.
I thought that was a nice touch.
I thought so too. And you know what, the funny thing about, you know, everybody, if you were on Twitter and reading responses about 215 when the main event pulled up, people were just trashing on this card, how, you know, nobody was going to buy it. But oh my gosh, the fights from the fight pass prelims all the way to the main event, great fights all night long.
Pam, you're one person that buys every single card. I even told Proteus, I'm not sure I was going to buy this card when the main thing, when a main fight, a main event mm-hmm. actually blew out. I ended up buying it. There's no doubt about it, but mm-hmm. I did have some reservations on it. You're someone that always buys them regardless. Do you think they need to slow down a little bit on the pay-per-views, or do you just think they just need to slow down a little bit on the freebie fights?
Well, no, you know what? No, because sometimes, no, I don't think that they need to slow down because then we have that gap of 3 weeks without a fight. But what I do think that they need to do is they need to focus on UFC, not on boxing, not on promoting one fighter. I think they need to focus on promoting fighters and giving them the same time and attention that they give one certain fighter. You know, in truth, how was the buildup to 215? I didn't see really any advertising for it. I didn't see any, oh my God, 215, you've got two championship belts on the line. I didn't see anything aside from being on Twitter and actually going to look for it. There was no kind of advertising for it, so.
You're right, and I, obviously a lot of it was trying to push that whole Mayweather-McGregor. A lot of it, I think, is uncertainty in the card as well, right? Because you did have a couple fights really fall off that were important fights, right? Like the JDS and
right.
Ganu, and of course the main event. So,
but that seems to be seems to be a trend as of late.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think it's going to continue to happen, Pam. I really do. Mm-hmm. Pam, so as we're closing the show, let's do this. Of course, on Wednesday, we will have UFC Fight Night Rockhold versus Grant. Smack my picks up. Proteus will probably do Proteus's prime time. And, of course, next Sunday, Pam.
Jason Knight.
That's right. On This Week in MMA, and I'll try to do, if I can, if there's enough news, a couple MMA minutes. I just really haven't had a lot of time. Sam, we will, of course, UFC on Fight Night, Rockhold versus Branch. That will be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a lot closer to your home. Your boy, Luke Rockhold, Mike Perry, friend to the show, Anthony Smith, of course, Kamaru Usman. Not a bad card, not a great card. Oh, and your guy, Sam, Luke Sanders is fighting.
Ooh. See? Sometimes the free cards are, sometimes the better. They're all great fights. I can't wait. You know, I'll be watching.
Right. Cool Hand Luke, right? Making his third fight in the UFC.
Yeah.
Sam, let's get out of here. We want to thank, of course, Tom Galicchio. But we follow him at TOMGA. You know what? I butchered his name again.
LLTOMGALLICIO.
That's right. TOMGALLICIO. We make sure we follow him. We follow Pam at Pandora Box. Follow us at Another MMA Cast. Pam, let's get out of here.
Bye.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.